Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold. And for Rob Ferret, you're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out how to ward off winter's chill with some homemade herbal tea.
But first, the latest economic report. We'll take a look at the latest job numbers and find out what we can expect from our new Fed chair, Janet Yellen.
New unemployment figures were released today, and while the jobless rate has edged down somewhat, we saw fewer than expected jobs added to the payrolls last month.
We've asked Marketplace Money Economics Editor Chris Farrell to explain what's going on. Chris, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me. I'll try to explain this.
Well, so let's start with the job report. Now, the jobless rate has improved a bit, but the numbers today, they're lower than expected. What happened?
So this is, you know, if you take a look at this report, I think there's a story to be emphasized, and it's been going on for a considerable period of time. The private sector job growth was 142,000. The overall number was 113,000. Private sector job growth was 142,000. That's not what people were hoping for. People were hoping, you know, around a little over 180,000. But it was 29,000 cuts in government. Federal, state, and local across the board. And the story of this economy has been over a period of time, as we've been improving, as you're starting to see some better gross domestic product numbers, that the private sector has been growing, not fast, but it is growing, and it is the public sector to a large extent with the cuts going on in the public sector jobs that is holding back this job growth figure.
Now, there were some bright spots, manufacturing and construction. Now, they were up. Why there? Is there a pattern emerging?
Well, I think in terms of there are two things going on. One, you know, in manufacturing, there's something going on in this country as far as manufacturing goes. And I was off here locally, Dunwoody. It's a technical college, and they're training just many workers for the manufacturing sector, and they're getting a job right away. So manufacturing, you can't exaggerate it, but manufacturing is going through a revival. The big issue about the manufacturing revival here is that it's adding the jobs, but not that many. But nonetheless, manufacturing is going through a revival. And then with the construction, it's a combination of factors. I think part of it is the improvement in the housing market that's showing up in more houses being opened up. And then there's just a lot of other construction going on, you know, in terms of building stadiums or other things. So construction seems to be doing a little bit better. Developers seem to be spending a little bit more money, and it's reflecting some optimism in the housing market.
So do we have a sense of why the public sector, government jobs are lagging?
Well, you know, a lot, it's showing up, you know, one of the areas that people were a little bit surprised about was healthcare was down and education was down. Particularly the healthcare was actually quite a large number, and that's sort of unusual. And you can't pin that on all the turmoil that's going on with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. In fact, you'd actually think there'd be more hiring because of all the uncertainty that's going on there. So that was one thing that people noticed. And I think with a lot of state and local governments, it's a lag effect. A lot of governments have been going through a period of time of just really tough budgets. They cut back a lot. They did a lot of most of the work was on the spending side. They reduced their headcount. Now the flow, you know, the revenues are increasing. There's a lot of capital gains going on. There are more incomes and a lot more state and local governments are starting to deal with surplus, but I think that there's a lag in terms of their spending it. So we're still seeing the cuts. My expectation is this is one of the more positive factors that will go on in this economy as 2014 continues, which is that there can be less cuts in the state and local government side, and actually we might start seeing some hiring.
So that could stabilize things. But
yes.
Today, the headlines were generally, you know, the numbers were lower, so maybe this economic recovery was not as solid as we think, not as durable as we think. Do you think it's too early to be worrying about things like that?
Well, it's, you know, it was interesting going through some of the comments. You know, the positive comments were, this isn't a catastrophe. This isn't a disaster. And I think what this is basically what this economy has been doing. We still have job growth. It's disappointing job growth. not a whole lot has changed. And what and I think where the a lot of the disappointment's really coming in, not just because the number is low, but you know, toward the end of 2013, as we were in that period of October, November, December, there was a growing sense that this economy was really starting to gain some traction. The private sector was starting to grow. So we came to 2014 thinking, okay, finally, we're going to start getting some job growth. I mean, look at this stock market. It's up 166%, 170% actually, since its low of 2009. You know, companies are going to start spending this cash. We're going to get some mergers and acquisitions. State and local governments are doing better. And so relative to what the expectations were, this is a real dash. This is a real dose of cold water on expectations. As far as the economy goes, I think that is, we are basically stuck in the same rut of, you know, slightly better than 2% generates positive job growth, but nothing to get excited about.
Now, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and this has been making some headlines as regards jobs. Earlier this week, congressional Republicans talked a lot about a report by the Congressional Budget Office, which they say indicates that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is bad for jobs. What's the crux of that argument?
Okay, so the crux of that argument is a misinterpretation of the numbers. And the crux of the argument is not that because of the Affordable Care Act, the number that's been out there is 2 million jobs, that the demand by employers is going to shrink by 2 million jobs. That was not what the number said. What the number said is that, look, there are a lot of people who are locked into a job, and they'd actually like to work fewer hours, or they'd like to leave that employer. And so because there's more insurance available, and because of the Affordable Care Act, they're going to be working less. They're going to work fewer hours. Now, then you can have a debate. Is this a good or a bad thing? I'm in the camp that says, look, if you want to work fewer hours and you're able to work fewer hours, fine. That's fine. What's wrong with that? Other people say, no, you know, we need people to be working more. But nonetheless, what it really is about people working fewer hours because they have access to health insurance and what they were doing. And the job they had, and maybe they hated it, maybe they didn't like it, but they did it because they didn't want to leave their family naked without any health insurance, so they were sticking it out, gritting their teeth. I think it's actually more of a positive number than a negative one.
So this isn't jobs going up in smoke. This
No.
is jobs that people are electing to leave because now they have a different option.
Right. And the way the calculation really is, what it is, it's hours going up in smoke because you may not leave a full you may have a full-time job, you move to part-time because you feel comfortable doing that. You still have some income coming in, but you're not as worried about meeting the number of hours that you need to get to be on your employer's health insurance plan.
So moving on to the Fed, on Monday, Janet Yellen was sworn in as the new chair of the Fed, the first woman to serve in that role. How sensitive are the markets to a transition of power like the one we just had when Janet Yellen took over from Ben Bernanke?
Well, I think the markets are very sensitive to it, but they're sensitive to it because it's the Fed. And the Fed is the most powerful economic institution in the world. And that's not exaggeration, that's not hyperbole, that's actually a statement of fact. As far as its transition goes from Bernanke to Yellen, once they settled on Janet Yellen, it's been very smooth. And the perception is there's not going to be a whole great deal of difference, at least up front. So I don't expect any major turmoil on Wall Street reflecting Yellen's testimony, but people will be looking very closely at it. They're going to see, well, what's going to be happening with this tapering, which is with the, you know, the Fed removing slowly its bond buying program. What's she going to be talking about the job market? Is she going to give us any markers? But I expect that, you know, she's very professional. She's extremely well practiced in Washington. So if we're talking today, the expectation is no bombshells. We'll see what happens next week.
Okay, so you mentioned the tapering of the bond buying. That's having an effect already in some places, isn't it? What are we seeing?
So we're the tapering is, this is the quantitative easing, which is, you know, the Fed's been having this unusual policy of buying bonds to help bring down interest rates, help out the housing market, encourage people to go more into the equity market, try to support the economy. They recognize at some point we got to stop doing this. So it's been $85 billion, then it's down to $75 billion. Now they're going to do $65 billion. And they're just going to gradually reduce this presence in the market, which should raise interest rates. That's the expectation. Not a big run-up in interest rates, not a huge run-up in interest rates, but it should, there'll be less buying in the market, so therefore interest rates should rise. That's the expectation. There's an expectation that nothing is going to change right now. They're going to continue the tapering. However, and this is what the Fed has worked really hard to try and convince the markets, and a lot of the turmoil that we had back in May and, you know, after that was they weren't very convincing to the market, but they seem to have finally gotten their message across. They're going to continue the tapering, but they're going to keep interest rates low. And, you know, they're just not going to ease up. They're not going to tighten up on monetary policy anytime soon because you have no worries about inflation. Inflation's barely existent, and you do have worries about the job market. But what they want to do is kind of get rid of this unusual program that they instituted during the worst of the downturn.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming back on and explaining it to us today.
Well, I hope that was clear. Thanks a lot.
It was excellent. Thank you. Chris Farrell is the economics editor for Marketplace Money.